Hello, citizens of the SFL Empire. This is Coach's Corner again. I am Brian Craven, still, and I've got another episode for you. We're doing a bashing the SFL. I'm putting my good buddy Doug Day on the spot, asking him some of the same questions I put out there on my last episode. So it's mostly him talking, but that's usually okay. So it goes a little bit longer than my last one because we like to ramble. But I think it's good, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. He's got a couple of hot takes, and I disagree with him in public, but I think it's a good show. I think we're going to have some fun. So, relax, enjoy yourself, and here we go. And we're back with Bashing the SFL with Doug Day and Brian Craven. Doug, long time no talk. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. How you been doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a little bit. We've had some stuff going on. Good. I have been neck deep in the playbook trying to get ready for Eddie Gage.
I also heard you were neck deep in a wedding buffet or something like that. You went to a wedding the other day.
Neck deep, I was in over my head. That was amazing. Yeah, I missed our scrimmage against Jacksonville, and but it was for a good cause because there was barbecue.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So yeah, it was an interesting scrimmage. If it's anything that it reflects on the season that's upcoming, it's going to be a great season for both teams. You know, yeah. a lot of work coming in. I know you and Charles and the gang have put in a lot of work on our playbook, so that should be excited, man. We got 1 week. We got less than a week.
I know.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to getting out there and being Lone Star together out in front of everybody. We've been Lone Star together, kind of us, in our locker room and having our fun. And we've had a great time. But yeah, it's going to be fun to do.
Oh, it's going to be excellent. It's going to be an awesome freaking season.
Yeah, definitely going to be fun. Two new teams this season.
That's yes. I also heard that I also heard that we got some new minor league teams coming in.
Yeah, four of them.
So we got Lexington. We have the Lexington Miners, led by Chad Rowland, Mr. Rowland. Mm-hmm. Salt Lake Rustlers.
Oh, okay.
When I first read the whole thing, I thought it was the Salt Lake Rustlers. Because you know Ross Napoli's gonna be coaching that team. You see what I did there? But wait, it gets even better. So next we have the Memphis River Runners, coached by Rain Rowe.
Mm-hmm.
Are they looking for R's or W's over there? I don't know what's going on with that one.
Not hard to tell.
Alright. And then Jalen Wells, he's going to lead up Tacoma. He's going to take the Tacoma Grizzlies onto the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, wishing good luck to all those guys and the returning coaches for next year for the previous eight. So, are you going to lead the helm for San Jose next season? What's going on with that?
Well, I've got Thomas Smith and Liam Hammer, and they're going to take care of the offense and the defense. They're ready to go. Going to give them freedom to do what they're going to do. I'll just kind of be an administrator and take care of anything like that that I need to do. Be part of the locker room. Try to do a lot of what we did last year, which is helping out the new rookies, trying to navigate all of that stuff. And I honestly was kind of thinking about just stepping aside completely,
but I enjoyed that quite a bit. I know I'm going to want to break from all the simming and all the game planning and all that stuff after the season goes. So I didn't want to be doing that again.
Yeah.
Well, basically, three seasons back to back to back if I had done that. Because
that's some work right there.
Yeah. And let's face it, I'm lazy. So.
Yeah, I think I've decided to come back as special assistant to the special teams coach. And
I like it. I like it, yeah. our special teams were top-notch last season.
I'm telling you. Yeah, we're planning on helping the rookies with their builds and, you know, answering questions like that. You know, that's kind of what we do.
Well, and there's some changes. Yeah, you know, the rookies are actually going to progress during the season this year.
I heard that.
Yeah, and I'm going to go on record as saying that could potentially be disastrous.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you've got somebody not really paying attention, not helping their kids. I mean, think about kids. I say kids. It's like I'm back coaching high school. I mean, think about last season with some of the guys, because we got rookies assigned and they had submitted their players. And think about just some of the inconsistencies, unfortunate choices that were made. With some of those, like receivers that didn't put any points into catching.
Okay, so let me catch up real quick. So you're talking about the players that are playing in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. During their minor league stint, they're going to progress, and that progression is going to carry over into their draft stock.
Unless I am very mistaken, that is exactly what's happening.
That's
exactly what happened.
They are definitely going to need, you know, the newer rookies are going to need tutelage on, hey, you need to put some points here instead of here.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't make sense.
I mean, it's at a slower rate than, say, yours and my progression in the big league.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and probably they won't completely fork themselves if they do something. But yeah, I mean, you just could have, and we had some guys this season who, when it came down to them or another guy in the draft, they were looking at their builds. I'm not going to name anybody, but when I was chatting with Slim Shady the other day.
Are you talking about like height wise?
Well, that's one. Just but that didn't really come up. No. When I was talking to Slim, he was talking about a couple of running back prospects. Remember they drafted Scott Johnson. They liked him individually, but they also, looking at his build compared to a couple of other minor league running backs, they were like, okay, this one is going to take a little more work than that one. You know, nothing was broken, but it just wasn't as good as it could be.
And now, let me ask you this. If you're a running back, in the minor leagues, what are your thoughts on the minor league running backs should go with a balanced build? Because once they get drafted, then their owner can say, okay, we'd rather you go this route power or this route finesse.
I think that's a smart play. Yeah. I think that's a smart play. Go balanced and then you can go either way. Or at the very least, don't make your size such that a transition is hard to do, but I think there's a real argument to be made for just going balance, being right in the middle of the size range or whatever, where you're good either way, then you can make that move.
Yeah, because if you're say like, you know, 5'7", not thinking you would end up going power, but if you're like 6'2", you could go power or finesse.
Yep.
With the right weight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Sounds interesting.
Well, I mean, that's what Fox did with that exact plan in mind. Now, he obviously didn't end up going at running back. But the draft, I mean, we talked about that before. The draft was, it was just different. It was just upside down. Well, it was upside down and it wasn't, you know, what looked like it was a sure thing was in fact not. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think on a lot of those things, I think the rookies need to keep flexibility and versatility in mind. Don't make your linebacker too big, because you can transition to safety, for example. If that's a thought, or things like that. I think those are important things. Those are important conversations to be had. And frankly, the whole build thing and helping out the rookies, I put that on the coaches. The coaches, the people coaching them have to help them out. I'm calling guys out. We do know that there were a couple of minor league coaches that were completely uninvolved. And that's not right. Give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody else. If you're not gonna be in there and not gonna be invested, give it to somebody else.
Well, I know everybody on San Jose's on the coaching staff was every day we were in there. You need help. What about your, what's your plan to play? What is your secondary? And, all that stuff. The coaches need to, plus I think the coaches, they need to get extra guys in there that can help them with that kind of thing.
Well, that's why I brought in so many people. I knew other people were going to be better at things than I was.
But speaking of the draft, and how odd it was. So I was putting together some numbers today.
Okay.
And of the teams, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There were 9 teams that ended the draft with 4 defensive linemen.
Oh, really? Okay.
So how everybody's talking about, the front seven. So I decided, let's look into this front seven thing.
Okay.
So you've got London, Lone Star, Portland, Baltimore, Mexico City, Louisiana, Atlanta, Houston, and Fort Worth. They all have 4 defensive linemen.
Okay.
Now, of the defensive linemen, we're going to go value. We're going to look at the value now. London, their average value of defensive linemen, the front four, is 68.
Okay.
So Houston and Fort Worth are at the bottom with a 57.
Really? Okay.
So London to Fort Worth, that's 68 to 57. And, Lone Star is at 66. Portland is at 62. Baltimore, Mexico City, and Louisiana, they're at 59. Atlanta's at 58. Houston, Fort Worth are at 57. So their front four, that's their value.
Okay.
Now, of those teams, only 4 of those teams actually have a front seven.
Oh, I was going to ask, how many of them have 3 linebackers?
Yes, and that is Lone Star, Portland, Baltimore, and Fort Worth.
Okay.
So those 4 teams are the only teams with 3 linebackers and 4 defensive linemen. Now, here's the fun part. Of those 4 teams with the actual front seven, who has the best value? Who do you think has the best value of those 4 teams?
I know Portland spent a lot of money on their linebackers. You said their defensive line value is a little bit lower. I feel like you're setting me up. It must be Lone Star.
Actually, it is not.
Oh, okay.
So Portland has their defensive line at 62 and their linebackers at 80.6. Roughly 80-ish, it's right about there.
Okay.
Lone Star has a 66 defensive line and a 72 linebacker core.
Okay, well, so Portland, I bring that average down a lot, so.
So Portland is at 71. Lone Star is at 69. Baltimore is a 62. And Fort Worth is a 61.
Front seven value.
There's your front seven average value.
Okay.
So we shall see how the rest of that turns out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a little, that was fun putting that together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was kind of wondering about that the other day. I was wondering who else, because I knew there were other teams that had four linemen.
Yeah.
But I was wondering how many went three linebackers.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's teams with four defensive line, two linebackers, you know, front three, you know, two linebackers, maybe they go 3-3 or whatever, but you know, that's who has the actual front seven. I mean, we added, we're up to 20 roster spots.
Yeah.
This season is going to be very interesting to see how these extra roster spots were utilized.
Oh, you know,
some people went, I think it was what, Queen City has five or four O-line guys.
They've got four, yep.
Yeah, so yep. They used, you know, they went O-line.
Aren't a couple of those owner, I mean, still, in front of your cap.
Probably.
A couple of them owner,
yeah,
owner O-line.
Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then I think, who was it? I think Vegas decided, hey, you know what? We're going to go four wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
We only have two.
Isn't Florida? Don't they have four wide receivers? Or no?
Ooh, Florida has Optimus.
Mighty's Steve, always Steven Mighty's Bush, always yeah.
Minson and Como. Yes.
Yeah,
they
Minson
have four.
Minson moved to wide receiver.
Yeah, yep. So they have four. So teams are, you know, picking positions, it's like, okay, let's boost up here and not so much here. Let's use this instead of this. So this is going to be a really good season to see, okay, we've given you 20 slots. How do you use them? You know, where when I started, there was only 12.
Yep.
You know, yep. I think when I started in Vancouver, there was two D-line, I was the only linebacker, and mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it was like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was almost a meta in place.
Yeah.
At 12. Not, I mean, obviously not completely. I think Jacksonville, for example, had a lot. Didn't they have like at least three defensive linemen, which was crazy, unheard of. Which was,
oh, yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Hard to argue with the results, although they never won any championships, but they're always in the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. And I remember you and I having a conversation last year, and I said I hope that we didn't get too much more than 17, because you would still have teams being forced to make sacrifices here and there.
Yeah.
I still feel that way a little bit. Like we're at 20, for example, like you said, and we made sacrifices here and there. But, you know, so we're going to have. I think matchups are really going to matter. You know,
yeah.
And there are some teams that are just going to be tough for us because they're matching up. They're going to match up. We're going to match up poorly. And then there's other teams that we're going to be a challenge because of how we match up for them.
Yeah.
But even if we expand, and it seems inevitable that we'll expand the rosters again, even if we expand and we get close to that nearly full roster spot where there's a star in virtually every spot on the field, you're still going to have some variety as to how people tend to tap on those
teams. Yeah.
And so I think we'll still have that. I think it would hurt us if we just saw the same thing on the field every time, just with different uniforms. You know, if everybody's got the same build, everybody's got the same team construction, everybody's running the same plays.
Yeah.
Boring, right? So I hope we always have, I hope we're always constructed in such a way that we have that variety.
Yeah. I think 22 or 23 would be a good number of roster spots just to stay what's the word I'm looking for? Competitive, and you know, you have to be a little creative,
right? Right.
On how you, you know, you hear me joke around about, oh, let's do 53, you know, ha ha ha, you
right.
know, but,
right.
but you know, you get too many roster spots. Now you're starting to get into, and I know I've been an advocate earlier about, you know, hey, or you know, asking questions about, hey, what about the substitutions and stuff like that? But,
well, yeah,
you know, you're still not going to be on the field. You're still going to have players sitting out, you know, so you're getting into that kind of a thing. But,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
I've been looking through the, I don't think they're updated. There's a Google thing. The season 15 signings, and this one shows you at 62 or something like that, but I think you're actually at 63. So the numbers I'm looking at are, you know, probably not totally accurate, but they give you a good idea. And I'm looking at some of these teams, and some of these teams I'm really excited to see. You know, of course, you know, Sioux Falls is always going to be up there. Baltimore's always going to be up there. You know, Vancouver possibly could be back there. You know, Atlanta's always going to be up there. But the lower teams that we're looking at, like St. Louis, I'm really excited to see what St. Louis can do, because they picked up their 88 running back in Cairo Martinez. They've got Dillavu, who's an 84. They've got Owens, who's an 80 wide receiver. You know, and then you've got your 84 quarterback and 84 Eagle Mondavi. You know, so there's a lot of young guys, a lot of, you know, and their defense is definitely not a slouch.
No, so they're not.
It's going to be fun. Coach. Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun just to see how they, you know, how these teams come back and say, okay, you know, let's call this play instead of this play or whatever, but... You know, Portland's another one that's going to be, it's going to be curious to see, because they've got their Matt South, you know, their 94 Matt South quarterback. And I don't know if you've looked at these, the roster or not, but their weapons are going to be insane.
Eh,
you know,
the running game going to suck.
Hell yeah, he's only a 94, but you know, Truesman, it's like I said, I am dying to see. I want to meet you right back here in 6 months, just to say, dude, remember when we were talking crap and he ended up leading the league and whatever and blah 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 blah. But
you are smoking crack. You're smoking crack.
But if you look at their,
It's a date.
It's a date.
And I'm going to be saying, remember when you said that?
I know, right? But I mean, if you look at their their wide receiver core, Connor Weston, 84. Art Vandelay, 82.
A lot of rookies.
Gene Valentine, 84. Yeah. A lot of rookies. A lot of targets. And we'll see. We'll have to see, like you said earlier, we will have to see how these owners, players build and progress to get better. You know, you got a lot of these teams that, you know, if you look at some of the wide receivers on their team, it's like there's 98 wide receiver and then there's a 79 wide receiver. These guys are all mid 80s. So you figure by mid season, they could all be mid-90s.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. And you know, you're transitioning into something. You kind of transitioned into something I wanted to do with you anyway, which was talk about teams and how things turned out. I said on my show the other day, and, you know, I know you haven't heard it. My feelings aren't hurt at all. Kidding. But I talk about that. I talk about just some really quick early predictions about where teams are going to fall. So without boring people by going through that too much, what I'll tell you is that I was in chat with some guys the other day, and we were all kind of going through, you know, hey, what's this team going to do, and how's this team going to finish, and all that stuff. And we had way too many 8-4s on there. I felt like we were way too generous on the 8-4s. And my reason being is that we have so many teams with so many rookies. You know, you have your yeah, I'll take even Portland. Okay, Portland's got a good value quarterback. They've got a good value running back. But at the beginning, they don't have any, like, standout receivers yet. Those guys are going to need to progress. They're fine receivers. They're very good receivers, but they're not Ken Gossett. They're not Hacker. They're not Brett Killian. They're not things like that, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to need to have some progression. We've got other teams. St. Louis quarterback needs to progress. We know Lone Star Ace needs to progress, right?
Oh yeah.
He's a fine quarterback, but he's not one of the higher value guys yet. Needs to progress. Needs to get some development under his belt before you just hand him the reins and say, "All right, sling that baby." You know, you got to let him grow into it. It's not fair. It's not fair to ask a quarterback to be Joe Montana right off the bat. So so you got these teams. So my prediction was that you were going to have a whole bunch of teams kind of in the middle, beating up on each other and trading wins.
Yeah.
And so I thought we could see a whole slew of 6-6, maybe 7-5, maybe 5-7, just depending on how things fall, things like that, right?
Okay.
I also said I think there's a couple teams that could be 2, maybe 3 win teams. I had 2 teams, and apologies, because I know he doesn't want me to put it out there. He said, thanks for the love. The Charleston owner said, thanks for the appreciation. Did you have to set the bar so high? And I said, sorry, man. I like what you're doing there. I said, I think the championship game, Charleston and Sioux Falls, big surprise, coach loves Sioux Falls. I loved Sioux Falls all last season. I love what they were doing. Well, what Sioux Falls do? They brought everybody back, and they've been progressing. You know, they've got a mature in terms of progression team. They added complementary pieces with the only picks they had, the supplemental draft. I expect Sioux Falls to be a beast, right?
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that.
Right, and Charleston didn't lose very much, and had some really solid pieces. In the first place. So you know, anyway, things like that. But I think there's a lot of teams in the middle that could be kind of beating up on each other. What I said, I had like 3 or 4 tiers. I had the 10-2s, which was Charleston and Sioux Falls. I said Baltimore right behind, and the only reason I said right behind, I said 9-3. Only reason I had them right behind is because they did have some turnover if they're because of backfield. So, you know, you never know. They could be right there. I had several at 8-4. I had not Alaska. Whoa. Everybody take a shot. It's a drinking game. I had
concussions.
Florida. I had Florida. I had Denver because Jeremy's back at the helm.
Oh, yeah. Vegas. Had,
and they lost a lot of guys from the season before. Needed to progress. That's happened. Denver back up there. I didn't say Vancouver the other day, but I think Vancouver could be too. I didn't look real close to their schedule, but Andy followed the blueprint from last season, and it was successful. So the guys that he, for the most part, the guys that he replaced with similar or better players, and so, you know, there's no reason to think they can't be right back there at possibly 4th.
Yeah.
Plus, I think they have a chance to beat up on some of the teams that still have to progress. There are a couple others in there, but then a whole bunch of them in the middle. And I didn't name who I thought was going to be at the bottom of the barrel because I didn't feel anything to pile on. So after all of that, you're up. You get to play the game. So who are you picking in the championship game?
I would have to take Sioux Falls, of course, because they were there last year.
Mm-hmm.
and Baltimore.
Okay. Solid choice.
I really like Baltimore's always been at the top. They didn't have a lot of turnover.
No.
The turnover that they did have, they replaced with top guys.
Yep.
The coaching, the leadership has always been top notch. Mm-hmm. You know, and how can you even think about going against, you know, Dazzo and Gaines and, you know, Mack and Holder's back and, you know, all those guys, you know, their defense has always been solid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they still got Lloyd Graham Jr. out there. And,
you know, talking about one of the iconic franchises in the league.
Oh, yeah. So I think Sioux Falls and Baltimore, and I think it's too close to call who wins it, but I feel Baltimore will take it this year.
Okay, who's your dark horse to maybe replace one of those two? Because I had Sioux Falls and Charleston, and I had Baltimore as the dark horse to replace.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to have to go with you. I'm going to have to go with you on that. Atlanta, but I think Charleston stays where they are. Okay. They're up and coming. You know, they've got a lot of returning. You know, they've stocked up their defense just a little bit. So I think if
added on offensive line, which I think could be a big deal for them.
Yeah. I think Charleston, they end up top four.
Okay.
You know what? I think it's going to be Jacksonville and Charleston and Sioux Falls and Baltimore. Those are going to be the top four this year.
Okay. Well, the two...
Followed very closely by Lone Star. I had to throw that out there.
You just completely torpedoed your credibility. the two numbers nerds with Jacksonville, I don't know if you saw that, they've got Jacksonville picked at number one.
The way the league goes, I mean, it could go either way.
They're completely wrong because they said they were going to beat Vancouver last season and they lost twice. And I'm always going to rub that right in a couple of those guys' faces. I like Jacksonville as an organization, but a couple of them, you guys are pretty arrogant for everybody who never won anything. So, and you were wrong twice last year. So, you go right ahead and keep telling yourself you're the number one team in the league.
Yeah. But it was
keep dreaming, son. Keep dreaming,
son. It was fun the other day playing Jacksonville, though. It was really fun because, you know, you see, you know, the guy is awesome. The guy is a great player. But I tell you what, that Ken Gossett dude.
He's tough.
Oh my God, dude, he kills me. I'm like, oh, we got it. Oh, there he goes. Are you kidding me?
He's tough.
Oh my gosh.
Did you hear there was a little bit of a screw up with the rosters, which is, I mean, that's fine. I'm not worried about that for when the game start counting. But Lee's speed was 40. One of our starting cornerbacks, his speed was 40. Kind of hard to cover somebody with that. But that was fun. My goodness, the new graphics look great. I don't know if I'm perfectly honest. I love the idea. I don't know if I can do the like whether Google Meet or something. I don't know.
The live look in thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it if they want to have that. You know, I don't know why anyone wants to see my face on TV, but if they want to do that and see something, that's fine. But I want to be able to listen to the broadcast and not hear the other stuff going on. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know.
There was a lot of echo.
And it was a test, all right? You know, it's the technology, all that stuff. Everything's going to get better. So I'm not, this is not a shot at the concept or anything. I think it's an awesome idea.
For me, it was the live look-in. Well, yeah. they were showing the play. They were showing one play, and the live look-in was actually like, you know, 15 seconds earlier or whatever. So it's not it's not like you are reacting to the exact thing that you're looking at.
Right.
You know, so that was kind of tough because I was watching it, and I was like, yeah, cool, all right. And then they showed me, and it was like, well, wait a minute, that was like 20 minutes ago. You really didn't get the, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's the beginning of something, and
it'll get there. Yeah,
you know, we're not ESPN yet.
No.
But the way
we're better.
The way Cam is rolling, I mean, we could be there shortly.
I'm gonna say it right now. That young fella doing pretty good, isn't he? I can call him a young fella because he's younger than I am. That guy is doing all right. Okay. Anyway, you give me top four. I want to stay on task a little bit.
Give me your top four.
Let's have a few contenders to be at the next level. Playoff teams. If a couple things go right, you know, they're right there. So give me who do you think needs to be in the conversation?
Playoff wise, I think St. Louis goes back next year.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Sorry, Pickler, but you know, it's I think with the weapons and the new additions that St. Louis picked up, I mean, they're young, they're I think St. Louis is in the they're in the playoffs. Wild card or whatever. I think they're in the playoffs.
You and I completely differ on that one. I have to say it now. You forced my hand. I've got them as one of the ones that could be a 2 or 3 win team.
Really?
Just because they have so many new players on offense that need to progress. They're going to be, if those guys stay together and progress and grow, they're going to be fantastic. I don't see it this season. I could be completely wrong. Hey, I'll be the first to admit I am not an expert, but that's just my take on it. All right. So you got St. Louis. Who else is
definitely Chicago. Definitely then Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Oh yeah. Really? I can see Vegas. I want to see them and their four wide receiver sets and.
Well, sure.
They got a
silver running back. He's got to progress. They're gonna struggle on the ball for a while.
But their defense is still there.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Rhett Sawyer's just gonna get better.
Well, and Swinney, you know? Swinney's a hell of a linebacker. You know, you got that, and Max. He had that insane game last season. I mean, that still to me is the best defensive game I've seen in my time. That was awesome.
You got Shady and Drury in the the linebacking core. You got Rahman Jr. and Itera at the corners. I mean, you know, you throw Tomasina in there. It's going to be,
I like what they did. I've got them in the middle of the pack, though. Partly because of their schedule, having to play Denver twice, things like that. But, I did like what they did in the offseason. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I do have one, though, that's going to I don't feel Vancouver makes it into the playoffs. I think they come up just short. You know, they're looking at their defensive line. I don't know. I just, you know, their defensive line, I think, is going to be an issue. It's just like you said, they've got to progress.
Well, yeah, they do.
You know, they've got Adama. They got Brackett and Washington at linebacker. but you know, their defensive ends, Culverson and Percoco, you know, their value is really low. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they do have a couple of strong safeties that could come up and help out with the run game, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough.
Well, their defensive backfield, it's going to be hard. It's going to, yeah. But having only five in the front seven, that could be a problem. That could be a challenge, definitely.
Yeah.
But we're kind of in the same boat last year. We only had four in the front seven that were contract players.
Yeah.
And we we've talked about this many times. When we lost, it was teams that were able to take advantage of that. So. I think if Vancouver doesn't make the playoff, that'll be a surprise. But you know, it could happen. I mean, I could be happy. The problem is I see Florida making it. I see Denver making it. Those are two teams that didn't last year. So somebody's got to come up.
Yeah, Florida. Florida will be up there. I think Houston could be close.
Really?
I think Houston might. They might be close.
Okay.
Fort Worth, been looking at their roster. They could.
Yeah, tell me about their roster. What do you think about them?
So, I mean, they could slide. It's going to be close. They're going to have a lot of close games. Okay. You know, they've got Xander Gold up there throwing.
Well, they're
going to
score points. If they don't score points, something's gone horribly wrong.
Cade Stevens, Jason Williams, Hacker, Robert Garrett Jr. You know, Xander's got a lot of targets. You know, they got Taco Sicario with the kicker. So, you know, they get close.
For Xander, this is the best offense he's had, isn't it? I mean, yeah, he's a pal to go to, obviously,
their defense ain't no their defense isn't a. You know, you got Davis and Nacho on the corners. Vincent, linebacker.
Oh, I forgot about Vincent.
Yeah, then you throw in the rookie, David Harrell, at linebacker. He might, you know, do something. But, they're going to put the points, but they do have a lot of rookies on that line, that defense, though. So,
who have they got on their defensive line?
Their D line is Catherine Horrell.
Uh-huh.
They got Kamau, Mufasa Kamau.
Another rookie.
And Joey Schwent. I hope I didn't get that. And Gary Marks.
All rookies. Okay.
Yeah, all rookies.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah. They got Jonathan Taylor Sconsig, free safety.
Right.
So
he's good for safety. Good safety.
Yeah, Delaney Nash. They have Delaney Nash at strong safety. They got Ben Stone at free safety.
Yeah.
So they got JL Browning as a linebacker. So they'll put up the points, but their defense may cause them a little trouble.
Okay. You're not picking them as a playoff team, are you?
They're gonna be close.
Okay. Well, I think of the new teams, they may have the best chance.
I think we have a better chance than them, though.
Well, hey, I'm not going to do any false modesty here. Our defense is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
The question is, will I screw up the offense? That's the question. And
but I tell you what, here's a sleeper team. Here's a team that goes +4 on their record from last year.
Okay.
London.
Really?
They've put some pieces together that are okay. It's very curious the way that they did this. You know, they've got Vin at wide receiver, Telly Mack, linebacker, Jack Russell at strong safety, Brandon Ewing at corner. Devin Say, free safety. Marquise Reed, free safety. William Davidson, you know, defensive tackle. But then Robert Merrill.
Davidson's a good defensive tackle.
Moving to halfback. Okay. Dustin Zeck at wide receiver. Fox Highwind wide receiver. Benji Mattson tight end. A lot of young targets. Cool. You know, they're bringing back Angus. So, yeah, you throw Iggy Swift at fullback. You've got Surrett and Turner at the defensive line. So, yeah, Tanner Hendricks is out there at corner. Yeah. They're a sleeper. They won't make the playoffs, but I think that they add 3 or 4 wins.
Well, it would,
if they don't implode.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, looking at a lot of those, you know, that locker room, but I think they made, you know, obviously they made the one pick that everybody's like, seriously, dude. But,
yeah.
But
that was odd.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we know people are looking at us going, you did what? Who's that? You know, and I think a few of them are kind of pissed. But to me, those things aren't as wacky as that pick, and they're not as wacky as a certain Mexico City pick.
Obviously. Yeah.
So, but, you know, whatever.
Another team that made some interesting moves this offseason that could put them close to the playoffs, and that's Arizona.
Oh, yeah, I know. I like Arizona.
They picked up Jacob McCall. They turned around and picked up, Wyo, the free safety. You know, they picked him up. You know, EJ DeCue.
Oh, he's fantastic.
I was unfamiliar with him.
Yeah, well, remember all those Sims?
Oh, yeah.
DJ DeCue is tough. He's a good player. Yeah. He's a good player.
I can't wait to see what DJ Moses does this year.
He's been pretty good in my Sims.
Yeah, I kind of hope.
Very solid, you know, running back.
DJ is a good dude. I want to see him succeed.
We like DJ. Yeah. Well, hey, I'll
except for week one, of course.
Well, it, like we said to both Eddie and AJ recently, I hope you go 11-1. Love to see it. Love to see it. A couple of those new guys. Eddie's not gonna. You know, if Jacob starts throwing a fit like he did last season with Tulsa, Eddie's not gonna sit around for that.
Plus, they got Parker Thomas. Did Iverson Gamble came from Seattle though, right?
Uh huh. Good DB.
Good DB.
They had a good offseason.
You know, then you got Dede Sacks. Oh, my God.
They had a good offseason.
Yeah. Mark Mello at defensive end. The old guy, Tiberius Bovine, returning.
best name in the league.
Yeah.
Yes. The old war horse. Well, old war cow.
Yeah. And then Mana Tanaka. Kanaka.
Former Vancouver. He was on Vancouver when I joined up with him on contract.
Yeah, I'm still mad at him.
For not coming back?
No. He was talking one night in general chat, and he said something about that show on Netflix, The Floor is Lava. So, of course, you know, I had to go and watch it, and I couldn't stop watching it. So, damn that guy.
I don't fall for that crap. I don't fall for that crap.
But
considering Tiger King was number one in the country, I don't trust people.
Never watched it.
Oh God,
but
I didn't either.
What?
It looked like the dumbest thing. It looked like the dumbest thing ever.
You know what I am exactly? This is what I want to watch this year. Ashley Jackson to James or Donnie Hands.
Again, after week one, yes.
After week one, of course. Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of league, though, that, you know, you're rooting, you know, you want your team to win, but with the relationships are built, you know, it's just, you know, Robert Garrett Jr., I hope you guys have the greatest season and do well, except for when we kick your butts.
Right.
You know, and
still want you to be number two in Texas, but otherwise do well.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah, I know.
You know, and it's like you build so many great relationships. You want to see these guys succeed, but then on the other side of it, it is a game.
Well, and that's, I mean, we've said a couple of times, this is a community also. We talk about it with the draft. We talk about some of the individuals in the draft and how some got it and some didn't. And that was reflected in their draft status. It is still a community. Yeah, there are people that you're always going to say, yeah, screw that guy, I want to beat him every time. But for the most part, you're rooting for everybody. I don't know about, I mean, I know not everybody's this way, but there's somebody on every team that I'm rooting for. Multiple somebodies on every team I'm rooting for.
The one I want to see also, and you know, of course, this falls under the I want to see everybody, but I really want to see how Bryant Dynasty turns out in St. Louis or St. Louis. Atlanta. You know, he's got awesome targets to throw to.
Well,
he's got probably the best running back to just like, here's the ball, go run 40 yards.
Right.
You know,
or throw a little swing pass and let him do his thing.
Yeah. You know, and then the leadership, you know, the ownership, leadership, I don't think he could have gone to a better team.
Oh, no, I don't feel sorry. I don't feel sorry for him at all.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, he may not have went first, second, or third, but, you know, segueing into our next topic.
Our next subject, all right.
I think Bryant Dynasty is top three in Rookie of the Year.
Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
All right, let's have your other three candidates for offensive rookie of the year.
Cairo Martinez from St. Louis.
Okay.
He's gonna have to
run the ball a lot. Yeah.
I can't even. You know what? When we talked about this earlier before we started the show, I mean, this is just insane. So
that's why this is the unhinged segment.
Ace.
Yeah.
You have Ace. You have Javier Vasquez from St. Louis. You got Dynasty. You got DJ Hume in Tulsa. Twin Screw, Eagle Mondavi, Dillavu, Weston. You know, it's just Vandalay. Any of these, you know, even Ike could come out and do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Billy Ray Valentine.
You can't name everybody. That's cheating.
I just started writing. I'm like, okay, this could, and then, you know, this person.
All right, hey.
And then it just went crazy.
I know. That's why I'm putting you on the spot. But Big J journalism, baby.
Big J
journalism. What's it going to be?
Javier Vasquez.
Javier Vasquez, really? Okay. You're putting a lot on him. You're putting a lot on him. Not a knock against his boy, but he's got fewer weapons than Bryant Dynasty does.
Yeah.
They're not progressed yet.
I don't, God, this is tough. You know, looking at weapons, I would have to say Dynasty because of where he is.
Yeah.
And the weapons he has. So
and the coaching.
Yeah. So my final answer is QB Bryant Dynasty Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Offense well, quarterbacks get all the breaks, and so all he has to do is play reasonably well, and he's a contender. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, all he's got to do is play reasonably well.
I just don't think the running backs, the tight ends, the wide receivers. You know, I just don't think those other guys are going to have enough opportunities to really come out and, you know, put up the numbers that they need for offensive rookie of the year. Right.
Well, and what they need in order to do that is to be a focal point of the offense while still having enough weapons around them. To make it so the defense can't completely focus on it. Yeah. Right. And so I agree with you. I think Bryant Dynasty gets to come in. He gets to handle the ball more than anybody else and have some of the best weapons in the league to throw to. So to me, the deck is almost stacked in his favor, and that's not a negative. It is what it is. I'm not throwing shade at him by saying the deck is stacked in his favor. It's just what it is. Fine. I had him as my rookie of the year candidate. My dark horse, and this is simply looking at what they have and if the stars align for him, is Mike Twinsgrove, actually.
Oh yeah, he was on my list.
Well, you're looking at you're looking at a really good offensive coach. The thing of it is, and here's why I don't really think so. My offensive player of the year candidate is Reggie Streeter. Oh. And so Streeter is going to take love away from Mike.
Oh, yeah. Plus, I think Mike is going to be wide receiver 3.
He is.
Yeah.
But I think Gerald's one of the best I think he's one of the best offensive minds in the league. I mean, look at what he did, you know, I'm not taking a shot. Look at what he did with Johnny, okay? Look at what he did with the lowest-rated quarterback in the league, okay? Set aside, you know, everything else. Look at what he did with the lowest-rated quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
He kicked butt. Right. So now, and hey, depending on what his focus, maybe Johnny gets it. You know, maybe with the weapons and the progression and all of that stuff, they take the cuffs off even more, and maybe Johnny gets it, and Streeter doesn't. It's almost like either one of them, if Gerald somehow focuses one or the other, they're the beneficiary. So that's why, anyway, all of that is to say is why I don't really think Winfrey has a shot. I think a third wide receiver in the right system, especially a rookie, can get a lot of love. But we know, you know, you've got to kind of focus on it to do it. You know, we know last year, you and I both were like, boy, he's not getting a lot of touches early. So being wide receiver 3 is, you know, it's
yeah, and that's what I'm curious about with Vegas with their 4. It's like it's gonna be interesting to see how that turns out, and if those wide receivers, you know, it's like, do those wide receivers get enough love? And you know, it's like,
I'm looking forward to seeing it, because I'll tell you what, bro. When I'm looking at the playbook, there's an awful lot of 4 wide receiver sets that look really good, but you wouldn't do it because I'm not interested in giving a generic touches. Screw that noise.
Yeah. You
know, I'm not interested in giving a generic touches. Forget it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a generic anymore. Right? So.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving Dave a hard time the other day. I told him that generic got more catches than he did. I was making it up. But I had a sim where the number 3, you know, the generic wide receiver got like 5 catches. I was like, screw that. I'm changing that up. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I'm going to get pissed if that's happening. But yeah, anyway, so you've got Brian. Okay. I want to hear your MVP or your Offensive Player of the Year candidate.
Offensive Player of the Year?
Yep. Not rookie.
I think that's going to be Xander Gold.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's got the targets. You know, I think, yeah.
I think that's a fantastic possible pick, and I didn't think of it. I mean, Xander Gold's been in the Offensive Player of the Year conversation before.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of the, I feel a lot of the quarterbacks this year could suffer.
A lot of the quarterbacks?
A quarterback and running backs because of the roster expansion. I mean, look at us. We have a front seven.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some teams have three out of the seven or four out of the seven.
Yeah.
But the teams that are going to give the quarterbacks and running backs a lot of grief are the team with the front seven. And like Andy brought out last year, the O-line.
Yeah.
Okay. O-line's going to be a thing. Now teams are going to be like, well, hell, I should have, you know, to stop the run, you're going to need those.
Yeah, I think some teams didn't invest in O-line are going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
Because we're in the same boat. We're still in the same boat as we were last season. Remember I talked about this last season. Interceptions skyrocketed, right?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing people in chat going, "You're throwing a lot of interceptions here," and I didn't want to be rude, but I was like, "Well, duh! Everybody added the defense. We went up five spots.
Yeah.
And most teams added a third wide receiver,
corner, and secondary.
Yeah. Most teams added a third wide receiver and four defense.
Yeah.
When we went from 12 to 17, a lot of teams did, right?
Some went fullback.
Some did, yeah. That's not good for the offense. and again, the game was never designed for that many stars on the field.
Yeah.
So the playbook was never designed for that many stars on the field. There's a lot of crap in there. You don't get away with that I mean, look at us. We have 11 stars. We can have 11 stars on defense. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You're not running it. You're not running some of that crap with 11 stars on defense. So yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. I think the offense, some of the offense did get hurt. And that also circles back around to how many rookies we have that are indeed a professional. Mm-hmm. All right. I like your MVP pick. Or your offensive player. Was it offensive player of the year or MVP? I don't remember.
Offensive player of the year.
Okay. So who's MVP?
CeCe.
What?
Yep. Christian Christensen.
Oh. I thought you were talking Anthony CeCe, the kicker.
Well, same team.
No. Yes. Christian Christensen?
Yeah.
Well, he offers sheer volume.
His targets?
Well, they're all about throwing the ball.
They've got three. I think they've got three O-line. His targets. Yeah, so they've got three of those, and I think Christian, like I said, the running backs I feel are gonna get shut down a little bit more this year.
Maybe.
So with maybe. The O-line, you
but
know,
these,
with the these O-line,
teams that, these teams that got O-line could help their running backs. They could at least maybe be on the same level as when we didn't have O-line and we didn't have full defense.
Yeah.
That's my thinking. Because you got O-line canceling out some of the defense. But what?
Because like you said with Xander, you know, he's always been up there in the voting. I think this year Christensen he may not win the championship, but I think he puts up numbers. He's always put up good numbers.
Well, and he might be the champion. You never know. I mean, I like giving those guys a hard time.
Top four. Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just the two guys that I'm giving a hard time, really. But you know, I could see that. I could see him. Yeah, that's not a terrible thing. All right, how about Defensive Player of the Year?
Defensive Player of the Year, that's... You might as well just pick a number out of a hat.
That's almost right. It almost is.
I mean, that is just. I mean,
well, I think Duffy kept his contract, so you know he's a highly rated defensive lineman. Doty put together a heck of a season.
Doty had a great season. Tank Bennett again. You know, he always puts up big numbers. Twole could be up there. Who, Bennett? He's Revolution.
Yeah, that's it. If your safety is getting that many tackles, your defense isn't very good. So that we'll see if they take a jump there.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Okay.
Yeah, Hollywood's over there in Charleston.
Yeah, I could see one of the Charleston guys being a contender for defensive player of the year.
I mean, you know, you could even circle back to Lee Adama. You know, he put up some great numbers last year.
Yeah, if he has similar numbers to last season, and
you know, he's got those two defensive end guys that are helping him out a little bit, so he might be able to break through a little bit more.
Take a little pressure off that is a sneaky good pick. That's a sneaky good pick.
You know what? I might have to say that.
Oh, okay. You're gonna.
I may have to put my hat in the ring for Lee Adama.
You're gonna do it. Okay.
I'm gonna do it.
All right. I'm. Hey.
Yeah.
Sneaky good pick. Sneaky good pick. He's in a spot. It's similar to what I was saying about the offense. That you need a guy that's a feature guy, but has the pieces around him so that he's not focused on.
Yeah.
Lee could be that guy. He could be a feature guy on defense. Now I know D-Wash is going to get upset about that, but the point being that D-Wash isn't going to benefit. He's going to benefit from Adama more than Adama is going to benefit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if Adama's putting up the big numbers, it puts the focus on him.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting take. I was with you on defense. It's really hard to tell. I mean,
it's bad because there's so many, you know,
one of those high paid, I was going to say one of those high paid Portland linebackers could put up some crazy numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Your player could put up some crazy numbers. I mean, some of our Sims, you've been bananas. Oh, I got one for you. Joey Tropicana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Big. He has some big tackle numbers on him. There's some big tackle numbers against us.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Wetz is the guy from Vegas, Sawyer. Rhett Sawyer. He's always a pain in the ass to freaking offensive lines. You know?
Then Shady's always a pain to. If you get past the defensive line.
Yeah.
And remember last season?
Shine in Atlanta.
Yeah. It's funny. Some of those linebacker guys are going to rack up those 120 tackles and not ever really be in the conversation sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like they expect it. And you know. So, yeah.
You could be top of the stat chart and still be mediocre.
right. Could be middle of the pack.
It's gonna be
my guy could have a better season than last season and nobody ever hear it. You know,
yeah.
Nobody gonna say a word. Speaking of linebackers, tackles, all that jazz, you ready to go on the old charity initiative?
Oh, yeah.
Objective Zero, baby.
Objective Zero.
Lone Star is their charity of choice is Objective Zero.
Yep.
What are you doing? I know we've talked about it before, but what's your pledge?
Well, like we discussed earlier before this all, you know, broke out and took off running, we were talking about the wounded warriors and stuff like that, but you know, we all discussed it and we talked about it, and now it's going to be Objective Zero. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be $1 for every tackle and $5 for every interception.
Okay, interception and sack, or
interception sack? Yeah, interception slash sack.
Okay.
And like I said, $1 for every tackle.
Okay. Okay.
So, going off of my numbers from last year, 113 total tackles, and I had two interceptions, so that would have been roughly, I would have rounded it up to like $130.
Okay. Nice. All right. Well, I'm in on it too. I would have spent just a little bit less than you, and that's okay. still would have been over $100. Yeah, I'm in on the same deal, and I'm going to share it with people. I'm going to try and get friends and family that aren't connected to get in on a pledge of their own. You know, 50 cents for a tackle like that, or something like that.
Oh yeah. Okay.
All kudos to Ross Napoli and Johnny Pickler for the work they've done.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And for everybody that's getting on board. And I know that some people are doing their own thing privately, and that's wonderful. It doesn't have to be what everybody else is doing or follow it. I love that you're doing something. So,
yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they need help, you know, and
oh yeah,
it's, well, just people just have to do what they can to help out. You know, that's one of the big things nowadays. It's like people are just out for themselves, and you know they just don't give a crap about where other people, you know, may be and their thought process and, you know, the crap that they're going through. You know, on top of everything else, you know, they're dealing with something, and then something else comes along. It's like they just get into that mindset of just nobody gives a shit, nobody cares, you know, so why not just, you know, say goodbye, you know? So yeah. My thing is to help where I can and when I can.
Yeah, and hey, sometimes you can't help as much. Sometimes all you can do is be with the gear. Everybody's fighting a battle, aren't they? And you touched on it a little bit. We are at a place right now. I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. Although obviously some political infighting is part of the problem. We're at a place where division is the norm right now. Whichever angle you come at it, and we need to remember, and I'm going to circle back around to Ross, okay?
Yeah.
Ross has become one of my good friends. If you look at our respective Twitter pages, we are 180 degrees different, right? We disagree on virtually everything. We're friends. We found common ground. We have
common
ground.
Yeah, just because we disagree doesn't mean we're not friends.
We're not letting that stuff, we're not going to let that stuff break us. Apart, right? And things like this, thinking about something that isn't about you, but is about someone else, something larger than yourself, a phrase that I use all the time. Those are the kind of things that deal with the vision that we're seeing. And so they're really important. They're really important. But like you said, everybody's on their own journey. Everybody's dealing with their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, we got to remember we're in it together.
Yeah.
And maybe you're helping people that you will never meet. Still, we've heard this before, #, making an impact.
Yep.
Maybe. So.
And that's what it is. You know, that's what this league is all about. You know, make an impact on and off the field.
Yep.
You know?
So that's what we're here for.
That's it, baby.
All right. Well, you got anything else you want to cover? We got a little inter-squad scrimmage coming up.
Well, next Sunday, Lone Star takes on Arizona Scorpions.
That's right. Arizona gets to start on their 11-1 campaign.
And next Sunday, the Bash Brothers are definitely going to make an impact on the Arizona offense.
That's right. Going to give Ashley a hug.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be like, hi, Ashley. How are you? Now sit down.
Ashley, so good to see you. So good to see you.
I'll be like, hey, DJ, what's going on? And boom.
Hug.
Have a Twinkie.
Another stud in our sim has been our other Bash Brother, Freddie. Freddie is a player. Freddie's a baller, man.
That's
coming up, and I'll tell you what else we're going to have this week. We're going to try to get all of the Lone Star players together. Maybe not all at once. Maybe it'll be like half and half or like three or four at a time. But we're going to put out some little get-to-know-you pieces this week. We're going to try and get all of that done since I can take a brief break from simming. I want to get that done. I want to get some people out there. So stay tuned for
that.
That's
good. Well, I'll tell you something that just happened to me this past week.
Yeah.
So some of you guys that do not know that the job that I have is I work in the residential department at the Job Corps.
Uh-huh.
And I just now passed last Wednesday my 18th year at that program.
Wow.
And I think about, you know, we talk about making an impact and all this other stuff, but I think about all the former students, you know, where they are. I have a lot of them on Facebook, and I see, you know, the successes and the some of them have gone through the military and, you know, gotten jobs and have families now. And, you know, it's like, that's my impact.
Oh, yeah, well. I mean, it's very similar circumstances for all the people I've coached. And I coached for 20 years.
Yeah.
Nearly the same time frame. It is interesting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you. I sometimes feel like I'm not really doing anything. And usually about the time I start feeling that way, I'll get a message from a former player. It's like, hey, just wanted to check in.
Yeah.
Kind of like, oh.
Get those every now and then.
We don't always know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So,
to finish off real quick, I just wanted to let everybody know that, just in case they're curious, I got another postcard from Pseudo Nakai.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, so apparently Pseudo is hanging out in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Okay.
And he said that he's learned how to surf. He's mastered the fruity drink on the beach, but he's just now learned how to surf. So,
okay.
Pseudo, if you're listening to this, have fun and enjoy your retirement.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to picture him surfing.
All 5'7" of him.
Yeah. I'm strangely uncomfortable with it.
So, but like you said, earlier, Lone Star, we got our little inner scrimmage.
Yeah.
Inner squad scrimmage tonight. So while I'm watching that, I will be kicked back enjoying a Scrappy Boy.
You still have Scrappy Boy left?
I still have my Scrappy Boy from Armadillo Ale Works. Beer that tastes like beer.
That's what it says on the can, doesn't it?
That's what it says on the can.
Thank you, Armadillo Ale Works. I've still got some left too.
I wanted to drink one before work, but drinking one before work, or you know, before work.
Do they frown on that?
Well, I think they do.
Oh.
I had a game today. I drank a beer. So. But yes, Armadillo Ale Works.
All right. Yes.
Beer that tastes like beer.
I love it. In Denton, Texas.
Denton, Texas.
Okay,
and
well.
Bodacious says hi.
Bodacious says hello. You know who you are. I know you love it.
Love it, love it.
All right, guys. This has been Bashing the SFL. Thanks for joining us.
Good night, gentlemen.
Well, there you have it. Dougie gave his take on some hot topics. Didn't agree with all of them, but I like his thought process. It's always a good time doing those shows with him. We have some good ones coming up in the next week. I hope to knock out a few get-to-know-you shows with some Lone Star people. I've got a few other folks that I'm talking to about coming in. It's going to be relatively short. Not the usual long-winded interview types, just, you know, real quick, friendly get-togethers. So we're going to put those out. We are working, the league is working on a content schedule so that we're not kind of overlapping each other. Once that happens, I told them just whatever day works best, they can plug me in. So once that happens, we're going to be on a regular schedule rather than just the random drops that we get now. So stay tuned for that. And with that, our time together has come to an end. As always, good luck and God bless, my friends.